Welcome to another episode of
Rage Gear Studios,
the podcast.
Sup, guys? Today we're doing something
a little special.
Something maybe we skipped.
And yeah.
This time around, we're gonna, you know, something we should have done sooner, but we're gonna try to get to know Eric Donius a little more.
Oh, and you too. We're gonna bounce back and ask each other questions. And
now, I haven't called you that in a while, so I feel like it's time.
I know. You see my serpent tail waving at you?
That's what we're going to call it. All right. So.
So what, ask me. What you going to ask?
When did you start drawing? Like, how do you have any memories of? This is all about like art.
Yeah. Art inspirations, how we started getting into drawing and our beginnings.
So we'll go ahead. What was?
Okay.
Do you have any early recollections? Like, when did you feel like you started?
I must have been four, like around that age, before I started kindergarten. I already like just grab any scrap paper my parents had laying around, and I would just kind of take a pen and doodle. But honestly, once I started kindergarten, I think you had a similar experience. I didn't speak any English. Even though I was born here, I only spoke Spanish. My parents only spoke to me in Spanish, so starting kindergarten was really a culture shock for me. I had to go to ESL for like 2 years, and I guess I just gravitated towards drawing. And I know in kindergarten there's a lot of art that they do. You're making crafts and all that. Always gravitated towards that. I really remember, I know my mom had to buy us like a white t-shirt. All the other kids brought a t-shirt. My mom bought me like a little cute white polo because we were going to draw on it.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
This, we drew on a piece of paper, and I remember I drew a scene of like a sun with like, I think I drew my parents and me and Jenny. Melvin wasn't born yet. And it was just us standing in a row, like with some flowers. And I'm gonna ask my mom if she has that shirt. She had it for a while.
She bought this brand new nice polo, and you came home.
Well, drew it, and they somehow, I don't know, they transferred it onto the t-shirt.
Well, there are crayons. They come in crayon form.
Yeah.
Where you can draw on paper.
Yeah.
And then iron them.
Yes.
Onto the shirt.
That's exactly what we did.
But yeah, there's specific crayons that do that.
Yeah. So it transferred over, and that was kind of...
That is pretty awesome. I'm sure your mom was very surprised when you got home.
But out of all the kids, like, I was the only one that had, like, a little cute polo. Everybody else had just a regular t-shirt. So, you know.
Immigrant parents. I know. Know.
Exactly.
Like my mom, like, if somebody invited you to a party, my mom was like, you're going to dress up. You're going to look nice.
Yes.
And it was very difficult because
everybody else was just wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
One time, she like I was older, and it was like I remember it being like our first fight, and because she didn't want me to wear jeans, and I kept to my guns. I wore my jeans, and then we pick up her best friend who was driving us to this party, and she had jeans on, and my mom was like, "Oh, I was gonna wear jeans too," and I was like, I just sat there in the car appalled. That was so mad. And when we got to this party, it was at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh my gosh, which is, you're supposed to run around and be
in socks.
Yeah.
People run around in socks and sweats.
Yeah.
And she just wouldn't even look at me.
Oh,
I
my
must have been just anyway, I'm sorry. That was a tangent.
No, it's
like,
fine. I mean,
parents. We just they just don't get it.
I know. But then from then on, my mom would always
There was also Batman and Robin was being repeated on I don't know.
We the had live action?
We had cable. We had cable, so there was like things on TV that I was watching them. Like I was watching Porky's, which I shouldn't have been.
Oh my!
And Grease 2. You don't even know what Porky's is. But anyway,
Kim Cattrall, right?
Yeah, Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
And Porky's, Batman.
But Batman, you're talking about the TV show.
The TV show with Adam West and Yvonne Craig and Burt Ward. Yeah, that was
okay. All right, the next question. Who or what were some of your influences growing up in history, in art history, or in media? You were just mentioning those TV shows.
Well, what were your art influences in history and media?
So, as a kid, I mean, I just remember obviously Saturday morning cartoons was big. They always had Looney Tunes on. I always loved watching Looney Tunes. Just Bugs Bunny, come on. It's like a classic. And the first Disney movie I watched, my dad bought Bambi on VHS.
Oh my God, the trauma.
I must have been five. That but is not it. That, listen, that was my introduction to Disney. That was the first Disney movie I've Bambi's ever seen.
Bambi's mom is dead.
A reference from Animaniacs, yes. That episode still lives on in my memory. But Bambi! Aw, Skippy and Slappy. Damn, right? Yeah. Well, even Animaniacs was big. That was like... So, I had no idea that these animated cartoons or even these movies were hand-drawn. Like, each frame was somebody drawing. And when I figured that out, that blew my mind. And that kind of really cemented me to really get into drawing and continue creating. And, you know, that was like big. So Disney was big. The first Disney movie we saw in the movie theater, I like begged my parents to take me to go see Beauty and the Beast. And that was the first one we saw as a family, like Jenny went to. Of course, my parents are like, what the heck? Well, my mom, she's not a moviegoer. She always falls asleep. You put her in a dark room, comfy seats, and that's it. But my dad was like, for a cartoon, that was like very cinematic. Like, that was his comment. Like, it was very well done. And from there on, then Aladdin was the next. Aladdin is my all-time favorite movie, like, ever.
For all kinds of reasons, though.
Well, like, it's not... listen. It was... I love the adventure, the whole story of Aladdin and him rags to riches is my, you know...
That is the classic novela theme. Listen. That was your little baby novela.
It was! But you guys, it was crazy, because I had everything. I had a little Aladdin shrine. I had, like, the Cave of Wonders playset where it would open up, and I had all the action figures. My mom got me all the bedding, like I had a bed set. Like, you guys, it was bad. And this is how my mom would get us, because if y'all know Latino parents, it was like you're begging for stuff and they say no. And the way my mom would like get me these toys or whatever is she's like, you gotta get good grades, you gotta do your homework, you got. And for me, that was like, yes, I will get you straight A's, I will. I'm getting, you know,
that was amazing. Honor roll.
Yeah, so I was getting all these things, and sometimes she would say no and I would just cry. And then my mom would also take us to the library. She would make us go, she would drop us off, let's say, for an hour, and she's like, you guys gotta find books. She would give us a limit, like 5 books to check out, and then we'd have to read. And I stumbled across, and this is back in the day, before computers, before you had to like do a search on online or whatever, you had to go through like a card catalog. I would always just...
Dewey Decimal
System. Yeah. Or I would always just go... Actually, I would go to the librarian. I would just ask them, like, do you have any books on art or drawing? Or... And then one time, they took me to, like, the graphic novel section. Ooh. And I discovered Calvin and Hobbes by Bill Watterson.
That was brilliant.
Oh, my goodness,
I remember... Well, the thing was reading that series is that I kept in mind... I remember while reading it being very conscious of, like, this is all happening in this kid's imagination.
Yeah.
And this, he's acting this a lot. And I'm reading it as, like, someone who's watching this kid play with the stuffed animal being extra.
Yeah.
And that made it even funnier for me.
Absolutely. I mean, Calvin's imagination was, oof. The way he viewed his parents or his teacher, Mrs. Wormwood. Do you remember? Oh, my gosh. Just... Honestly, you guys,
and the art was amazing.
The art, and the thing that amazed me about the art was that sometimes it was just a simple doodle, but you got the gist of it. And this is something that's similar to this comic artist Olivier Coipel, like where he can just do a suggested art, a drawing of something, and it just showed up so well. And I tried to mimic Bill Watterson's art so bad. Like, I was drawing my own strips, like, you know, but
he was trained. Yes, it was when great. He threw down, like, yeah. his dinosaurs.
Oh my goodness. Or his space Captain Spiff or something, I think. Yeah.
He was an amazing artist. And it, like, I could imagine all those how, like, the tiger always welcomed him, like, throwing himself at that never happened.
No,
what did Calvin do? Like, he walked in his home,
grabbed his little stuffed tiger, and just
hit himself
with it. Yeah, yeah. That's you're right.
That's how I always read it, and it made it so much funnier to me.
Yeah, and then I think the other big aspect of it were video games. I mean, my parents got me a Nintendo for Christmas one year. Super Mario 3 was it. Like, that was... And that got all my uncles, like, all my mom's brothers to come over on the weekends. And, of course, they would sit there. Back then, you couldn't save a game. You had to play it all the way from start to finish. And they would go there. And I remember, like, my uncles were a bit older than me, obviously. And... They're like, oh, this little kid wants to play, and, like, my mom would, like, yell at them and be like, hey, give Eric a chance to play. So they would just give it to me, like, let me play one run through, and of course I would die really quickly, and they're like, okay.
Okay, bye.
Exactly. Yeah.
You had your turn, I'm sorry. You had your turn. Now you have to share with all eight of us. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Come back later.
Yeah. But with video games, and then I started noticing the Street Fighter artwork, like the... Yeah, I kind of developed
the artwork too. Or Morgan's bouncing titties.
That was later.
Okay.
All right. You know.
I'll take it back.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But fighting games really, like, oh my gosh, Ray, I had an idea to create my own fighting game. I made all these characters. I, like, wrote down all their super attacks, their special powers. I even drew like fighting game backgrounds when they were, like, displaying their special attacks. It was hardcore. I threw down with that. But yeah, that was kind of like a lot of that. And in art history, of course, we go through the classics, Michelangelo, Da Vinci. I learned about Art Nouveau and Alphonse Mucha. I mean, Art Nouveau is always such a graphic and complicated art style that it just, I'm amazed at it, that they did it, you know, without computers back then. All those curves, all that
time,
patience, yes, yeah,
tools,
tears, all those tears.
All those tears.
But yeah, that's kind of like most of my influences back then as a kid. How about you?
I didn't have any art training for a long time, especially as a kid. But there was a teacher in the fifth grade that introduced me to Greek mythology. And that was it. And one of the assignments was to create our own. So we had to read all the other ones and then create something of our own. And I kind of just wanted to draw it. I didn't want to write it.
Yeah. Did you make Erichthonius? What did you write about?
I remember it being about light and shadow.
Okay.
And there was a princess who had a shadow, and the shadow was not nice.
Okay.
And, like,
shady bitch.
And that was going to field trips, mm-hmm. and going to museums and looking at the Greek art, and, like, here I am, like, fifth grade. How old are you in fifth grade? Like 9?
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
And going in a museum, and now it being okay for me to stare at the naked man's, like, oh. It just spoke, like, things, all kinds of things changed. Like, it was okay here in this place to look at this.
So a naked body, yeah. Because as kids, you're taught that nudity is
bad.
Absolutely.
But it was... That was a definite pull in that direction. And, like, the superhero thing was already happening. I had Thundercats. I had the cartoons, the He-Man and the...
Voltron?
Voltron.
or no?
It was all timing.
Yeah.
So I was watching all of them, but
yeah,
the ones you watched more because it was like when you got home from school.
Right.
The stuff that you had to get up at 6 in the morning to watch. Absolutely. I wasn't watching that.
I was getting up at 6:30 to watch some Sailor Moon.
No, I wasn't doing that.
Gosh, kids nowadays won't know with all this streaming and like
you can watch it whenever you want.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. For us, I remember like Animaniacs would come on really close to when I was arriving. Like I would probably be like 10 or 15 minutes late sometimes to catch the episode. I would be so pissed, but wish for the bus to go faster because I'm like, I need to make it home to go watch this episode.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But it was coming home in time to catch Silverhawks.
Oh.
To, what was it? That was great to watch. And Dungeons and Dragons. There was so a lot of 80s had a lot of good cartoons. Gem. There was a lot of stuff.
What's the Gatchaman one? Did you watch that one too?
Battle of the Planets. That was awkward. I didn't watch that one much because it came on at weird times because it had two different iterations because it really depended. Like the characters had different names. It was confusing. But as a kid, you don't understand the politics behind this stuff and why it's rebranded and why they changed the name and why. Like it was just like everything was just different now.
Yeah.
And then TV did influence a lot, just like what was on there and what pulled my interests. And there was the Batman show when it was syndicated and watching these people in costumes and Yvonne Craig. Like I just fell for Yvonne Craig. Like the TV show.
What was her character?
Batgirl.
Okay.
When the TV show started, you would get this and it was like a little cartoon sequence.
Absolutely.
Animated.
Yeah.
And you would know when she was going to be in the episode because she would swing by on a rope and her motorcycle would drive by. But if she didn't appear in the title sequence in the cartoon,
you're like, I'm not
watching this episode.
Did you like Eartha Kitt? She was in that, right?
Eartha Kitt was fantastic.
Catwoman?
Yeah. But these are all things that are being repeated in this syndication. I don't know what syndication was. Like, as a kid, like, this is just what was on TV.
Yeah.
It was okay because it came on a little later. So I was able to watch it after doing homework, but I don't know, that superhero genre, all that, it's like it's always been there. I've always been exposed to it somehow.
Yeah.
So that was, in terms of media, that's a lot of the history. That's where I get a lot of nostalgia and the influence. And definitely the Greek myths by the fifth grade and the sculptures and the penises and like it was all that was all a factor too.
Like in art, nudity's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Did you go to art school?
No.
Okay.
So for me, I did in middle school, high school, I definitely took all the art classes I could take. I even took AP Art Studio in high school, so that kind of like is a college level course, right? I mean, I think in 10th grade, I had this amazing art teacher, Miss Saldana, in high school. And yeah, I guess kind of like that teacher you had where she kind of like kept signing you up. Like, so I had her probably like 3 years in a row. So I really admired her. She was a great artist herself. And I think one time she invited us to her exhibition or she was having somewhere at a gallery. And I was just so in awe. And I remember asking her, how do you make a career out of art? Like, how do you... Because for the longest time, I didn't know how I was going to make this profitable. You know how... And she's like, you could do graphic design, and that's kind of like a visual element, and I took some computer graphics classes. I was like, this was in 98, so it was like early 2000s, maybe like late 90s, but you know, the technology was progressing quickly, but it still was very traditional, you know, even like with computer animation, it still wasn't there yet. I think Toy Story had come out, and that was like groundbreaking because it was the first full-length animated movie done with computers. But also Disney was very adamant to like dismiss that because their animation was all hand-drawn. They were gonna lose that art form. So anyway, it was all this stuff happening. Miss Saldana like told me, Eric, you gotta stop drawing cartoons. She's like, you gotta stop looking at these comic books. She's like, I need you to focus and draw from life. And I was fighting her against that, but honestly, you guys, it was like the best advice she could have given me. And she actually told me to take some figure drawing classes. I remember going to this community center, taking this figure drawing class. I think I was like 17, but can you imagine the 17-year-old like being in a classroom and just having the person who's the model just take all their clothes off, and yes, you're just like, you
yes,
know what?
Yes, because you're now, again, you're living my life again. But go ahead.
And I vividly remember, you guys, there was this one model. He must have been like late 30s, early 40s. He was like a motorcycle dude. He had like this biker like jacket, leather, and all this. And then when he got naked, he had like a Prince Albert. And I was like, oh, like what? I mean, that was like my first time seeing that or knowing about that. I had no idea that people pierced their dick. But anyway, it was some good experiences there. And I did see my art improve drawing from life, doing still lives, like doing anatomy. And I think reading all these books on animation, they always, the advice would be to draw from life. You take the gestures from like everyday life, because that's what creates the realism, the effect that these characters are moving in reality, you know?
It's, in a sense, it's like you have to know the rules in order to break them.
Yeah.
Once you have your foundation,
yes, right,
then you can warp it, adjust it, exaggerate it, play with it. But as long as you have a basis, a solid foundation, you can absolutely just take off.
Yeah, and before that, I was just copying all these cartoons. Like, oh, anime fucked me up with the proportions. Because Sailor Moon especially, long, lanky, elongated, big eyes, like, I was big into drawing that type of style. And then when I went to college, I didn't go to an art school. I went to a four-year university, but I did my bachelor's is in graphic design. And it was cool because the first 2 years was foundation courses, doing like painting, drawing, color theory, art history, all the foundation, right? And then I guess the last 2 years were focused on graphic design, illustration, computer graphic. And I at that time, Quark was still the big publishing program. And I think either my 11th, sorry, not my 11th, what is it? I think it was during my junior year that InDesign came out. Like, you guys, that wasn't that long ago, but this was groundbreaking, because I remember with Quark, you had to save your files. Like, if you had images or photos to import into Quark, you had to save them as EPS files. And there was always some kind of, like, import, because we were using Photoshop then. And sometimes the images wouldn't come over correctly. It was kind of a little glitchy. But with InDesign, you could just take a Photoshop file and paste it in directly. It was a game changer. And where's Quark now?
It's gone. Gone. Adobe took over everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Adobe took over even over like Flash and all that stuff. Yep. Macromedia, all those programs. But it's just interesting how much technology has progressed.
Blink of an eye.
Yeah. And did you actually went to art school. So tell us about that.
Art school was awesome. I went to while I was in high school,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted something artistic to do. My high school wasn't specialized. It wasn't an art school at all. But I found out that there were programs. One teacher had told me, and I checked it out and just walked up to
in your school, there were no art classes you would take?
There were, but
it wasn't advanced.
It wasn't...
You were over it. Like, you...
I wanted more.
Yeah.
I wanted more.
Yeah.
And I did speak to someone who told me that they had these college courses.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was in high school, for the last 2 years of high school, I got sent to the FIT. FIT
okay.
is the Fashion Institute of Technology, but they also had a pre-college class situation going on where they gave us money. At the time in New York, there were tokens. They gave you tokens.
Yeah.
And you had enough to go there and go back home. And something to eat. Like, they gave you this money. It was like, here's $5. Here's 2 tokens. And every weekend, you'd go over there and take specific courses, and one of them was comic drawing, interior design, life drawing, like all those things. And being in high school, and like you said, like being about 17 years old, and like here's a
figure like drawing 15 class,
15 people sitting around a naked body, and I was just like, what?
Yeah.
I love this. This is amazing. And it was like everybody has that one moment with the model.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this guy had just gone to the bathroom. I don't know if he'd like taken care of things before just so that he wouldn't, I don't know, get
hard.
I don't know what he did. But the point is that while I was supposed to be drawing him, I couldn't keep my eyes off the drip just hanging off his dick for like 40 minutes. It was just like glistening. So like
pre-coming or something?
I don't,
I want details now.
I can't tell you what the substance was.
But
it was there for a long time, just hanging off.
Yeah. You couldn't focus on anything else.
I was like, it was all already a new experience, but this was like, wow. It was different times.
Yeah.
But this is all in order to preparation for portfolio to get into art college, which did help me get into SVA.
That's amazing.
And SVA was I would love, I don't know, I would just hang out at school. Like, it was such a great place to be.
Environment.
Yeah. And it wasn't pushing technology at all. Like, I'm glad that you had your quirk and in design experience.
Well, that was my track, graphic design.
I'm an illustration major.
And yeah, so we were totally different.
A lot of that still does depend on, like,
the teacher.
Digital art is a legitimate medium.
Now it is, but it was a hard time coming.
Back then it was, I was sculpting, I was chiseling.
Wow.
Only thing I didn't get to do was weld. I always wanted to weld. It was like Flashdance with the mask and a sweater, my shoulder out, and with the music. But anyway,
you had that fantasy.
Yeah. And so there was egg tempera. Color theory. There was just so much information, and I was like living for all of it.
Yeah.
And yes, you do have to take the psychology and the writing and the reading and all the, those are still a part of it. But even that was art centric, so SVA was a phenomenal school, but at the time they weren't fully embracing the technology. But I picked up on my own, but it does give you an amazing foundation, like how to work with color, how to layer things, and like when it comes to layering paint, it was the same thing as creating layers in my head. Like, I figured out how to do that on like digitally. Anything I learned how to do with actual acrylics or oils, I can sort of kind of apply to digital stuff. And the only reason not to do more traditional stuff now is price, because digital stuff, like once you get Photoshop, it's done. Like, you can use as much as you want. With paint, you have to keep buying stuff, and it's about investing in your medium.
Well, in the similar vein, if you were to go back, what would have you liked to learn, or a class you would take that you didn't get a chance? I would
focus more on graphic stuff.
Okay.
Because as much as I enjoyed everything that I did do before, all the woodwork and the clay and the baking and the baking clay, like making, you know, not food, there
right.
was no food,
like ceramics,
yeah.
right? And the potter's wheel and all that. The ghost. Did you have a ghost fantasy?
I did not have a ghost fantasy. No, not at all. That was too messy. It's too messy. So
I like getting messy. Like, my favorite medium is charcoal and pastels, because they were so messy.
Get my hands dirty.
Oh no, I.
Yes, it was fun. I could paint, and the chiseling was difficult because I got blisters. Oof. But I liked the clay sculpting and building the wireframe. And again, it was a lot of models. Like, after that first guy, there was so many more models.
Yeah,
it was like I got to. I don't know. You become almost desensitized, or not so much desensitized, but you get to appreciate it for what they're teaching you. It is.
Yes.
It's not look at that leaking dick. It's like, look at this figure. Look at what it's doing. Look at the position. Look at the hips. Look at the, where's the pressure? Is distributed. Where's like,
yeah.
It just, look at, it just changes your perspective on it.
More of a technical thing than a sexual thing. Because I think that's absolutely what you train yourself to do. And were there a variety of different types of models?
Oh, absolutely.
With different body types.
All types.
Absolutely. Yeah. No.
And that was great.
That right. Was, yeah. That it wasn't just your typical model-esque body, you know? They're all shapes and sizes.
It was a lot of fun. That was art school was great. Even the, like, psychology classes and all that, like, because you had to psychoanalyze art.
Absolutely,
what can you tell me about this artist based on this work that they produced?
Yeah.
And those things were really interesting.
Art critiques, did you have to, like, they show your drawing on in the class and everybody had to critique you. Was that nerve-wracking for you?
Yeah, it was, but one of the things that happened was that I went to school at night. I had to work. I went because I wanted to go to SVA. It was a private school. It wasn't public.
I mean,
it
art school is expensive, which is why I didn't get to go to art school.
And because of that, I had to work during the day.
Okay.
And I would go to school at night. And all the people in those classes with me were like 40.
How old were you? You were like 19? Yeah.
It was different. It was it was still... I don't know, I didn't get to feel like I was with peers for a while.
Yeah.
But it was, they all had very mature, kind things to say. Mm-hmm. So it
wasn't fun. Like, oh, I think that's stupid.
I don't think you can do that in school. No. You can't do that. So that's like, it's like Cobra Kai school. That didn't work.
Oh.
But it was great. I had one teacher who worked on these books for The Last Unicorn, and her work was always amazing.
What?
Like, it was, there was so many, there was teachers whose work, the people who were teaching at SVA were working artists.
Yeah.
And there was a guy whose work was always featured in Details Magazine, and his class was awesome. His was like a storytelling panel kind of class, and I learned so much from some amazing people.
Oh, but, and it shows. Honestly, your art is amazing.
Stop.
It's all just saying you.
It's what you invest your time in. Whatever you practice at, whatever you work on, you will.
My lazy ass.
You will grow within it. But it was. Right now, it's not about lazy. Right now, it's just things are tough because things are tough. But
yeah.
we'll get back into it.
Yeah. I think one of the things I wish I would have, like, studied or learned is animation. I would take these notepads my dad would bring from work, and I would make my own flip books. Like, I would just, it's just something about animation just amazes me, that the fact that somebody went frame by frame to, like, develop this. And stuff I've been thinking about is, like, how do they time the mouth movements with the voice acting? Like, all these technical aspects of animation is just like, how do they do that? It's amazing to
it's
me.
Brilliant. Yeah, it is.
Because you're basically conveying acting through drawing. Like, a walk. Just a simple character walking on screen is showing that weight of, like...
Only 5 seconds of screen time.
So right.
It's like 5 months to create.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How many frames is that? Jeez. But that's one thing I think I would have liked to learn.
So you know, is that what you would aspire to be? Like, is that a dream job for you with the animation?
I think maybe, yeah. If I could get into animation at this time, that would be amazing. I would have such a blast, I think. And I think, I don't know how much has changed with computers, if it's more difficult or is it easier. But I'm sure there's more equations. It's very, like, formulaic maybe, right? With math and...
Yeah.
Technical aspects of it, seeing which angle to view things at. Like, I'm sure there's a ton of ways to see things now.
I guess that's one of the things. I mean, as far as like what I would aspire to be, dream job. There's so much. I'm just so interested in so many aspects of it. But there's storyboarding is great because that's determining angles and screenshots and
dynamic. Yeah. Drives the story forward.
There's also like character design. There's just so much. This doors are just wide open, and so much of it is so interesting.
Yeah, and I think character design, I really like creating different characters or their outfits or their power set. I really delve deep into that realm of like just figuring stuff out. Now, the tools of trade, right? Traditional versus digital media. How do you feel about either form? Do you gravitate?
No, I love it all. More? Like, I love it all. I do, because of my schooling.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I appreciate all of that. Watercoloring is, I like that because of the time constraints. Because there's things like oils were difficult for me because oils take time, and they're amazing when you're done with it. They're amazing. They're absolutely worth all the time invested. But it is something that takes a lot of time to work with, whereas like watercolors or acrylics kind of like are immediate.
Yeah.
And
for those procrastinators, like, you know, I always was so bad. I always got good grades, and I always procrastinated like hell. Like, literally, like, an hour before class, I'm over there, like, finishing something up. So, it makes me think, like, how amazing could have I been if I actually took the time and dedication to work on these pieces? Do you ever feel...
The thing is, like, every piece, while you're on it,
yeah,
feels... Everything feels good until you're done with it. Then you're like, you look back at it, and there's so many things you could have done differently.
For me, I didn't even have the time to think about that. I just had to get it done. It was like, sometimes I would pull these all-nighters.
There's an honesty to the art that comes out of that moment. Because there's like, you're not double-thinking yourself.
No,
you're not overthinking anything. You're just like producing, and you're making. And sometimes good things come of that. It's not all bad.
Right. Yeah.
But it is nice to have the time to...
To actually work and
but it's not that, feel that work isn't as spontaneous. It's not as natural as like really thought out, and that all shows.
You know, I always thought I was gonna get called out on it, but my teacher was like, "That's great, Eric." I'm like, "Oh, I guess I'll keep doing that." I always procrastinate. I even now, it's a
digital stuff made it fun because you could you could change everything so easily. Like there's no mistake you can't fix.
Yeah.
Like, there's sometimes when it comes to digital stuff, it's just, it all happens in a blink of an eye. Where traditional, like, if you mess up something, if something drops, if you accidentally, the table moves while you're drawing and you're inking and you mess up, there's no going back.
Yeah.
And when it comes to digital, you just fix everything, do anything. Like,
yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, it has its benefits and it's easier to reproduce. You can make copies, you can create things in CMYK so that you can see how a printer will handle it. And
yeah.
Whereas a watercolor, oil painting, all those things, you'd have to scan it, see how
close you can get it. And even then, you can't replicate it.
No, you can't. It's just,
there's some colors that won't translate over when you scan it or take a photo of it. Or
no, it's never the same.
Yeah. But do you prefer one over the other, or enjoy it all?
I can't say I have a preference. I do. Each one has its ups and downs.
And what digitally? What do you like to use? What tool or what program do you?
It's all Photoshop. Mostly throw down. I know there's so many others out there, but I learned Photoshop on my own. I stuck to it. I don't know that I want to learn another program again. Yeah. I know there's like clip art and there's all the other out there, but Photoshop is the one I know.
The OG.
That's what I know.
Do you remember that? Lens flare?
Oh, gosh.
Early on, I was using the lens flare all over the place.
I mean, they were so dramatic.
Yeah.
It was so pretty. It's so lit.
Yeah.
It looked so real. But then
right. It was so tacky, so guys.
It had its moments.
I will say, for me, I'm more into the traditional stuff. I grew up using mostly color pencils to color. Later in life, I started doing more markers. These Copics.
Markers were...
The Copics is a game changer.
Well, markers... Copics came later. There were these other markers before that. The smell... The
Prismacolor?
No.
Not
were,
even...
I think they were called AD markers, but there was okay. They were the ones that we can get at the student... store,
okay,
at SVA,
yeah,
and it's what they were using for interior design classes and all that. And it was, they really were
smelled
so,
like permanent marker.
Oh
type
man, it
smell?
Was just strong. Oof. It was so strong, but they worked so well. And I had a blast using them. And I used markers for a really long time before I did anything else. It was just safe. It was like and easy to buy. Like there was, I didn't know about brushes and watercolors. And stuff.
Some markers can be expensive.
Yes, but they were easy to buy.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had. Yes, it was.
But would you? So this is where we differ a little bit. When I'm gonna do like, if I want to do a blue, I just take a straight up blue I want to use. But you always blend in light and color, and you mix in two different colors that I have. Purple is your
go-to.
Yeah, but
that goes back to like
color theory,
layering. Oh, colors. Yeah. So some paint, when you paint with some, I mean, like watercolor is one of them, but there's also egg tempera, and there's also even
acrylics. I never even heard of egg tempera.
Also acrylics, and like it's all about layering.
Yeah.
If you create layer, you create depth. If something isn't something that's just one solid color,
yeah,
like, looks plastic. Yeah. Like, what's one solid color? That cup I'm drinking out of, because it's plastic. It's like Jello. That's what one of my teachers would say. It's like, if you take a green cube and you only use green to shade and highlight it, it will just be all green. It'll just be plastic. There's no depth, because shadow isn't the exact same color that you're using. Shadow is a whole nother tone.
And for shadow, I just pick black.
Black See? Is not... Black is not a color. So you have to find, you know, what shadows are composed of cool colors usually, because if the light source is warm. Like there's a technical stuff.
It's part so to it. Yeah, that's amazing. You know all this.
And it's once it's in your head, it's there. It's,
yeah. It's it got there. Implanted into you.
Absolutely.
Talk about digital and stuff. What about the internet presence, like when it came out, where were you?
Oh man,
like again, looking for an art community, or how message boards, did you art do that? Sites
did you, were you looking for an art community online? Did you, how did you stumble on art communities? I don't,
so your stuff was, again, but because of video games and my interest in anime and all this stuff, I was doing all these Google search. Wow, that's crazy.
Was there
back then? There was it's later in the game, but in the early dial-up days, I was using search engines like Hotbot, Lycos, AltaVista to do these search fan arts. I vividly remember finding this this woman named Jen Sang. She did all these Guile from Street Fighter fan arts and Cammy. And I was, you know, back then, you could just put up a web page of your art and you'd do it yourself, like... I learned how to do internet coding and all this stuff, and then the blogs came out, like Zanga and MySpace, where you could edit the code and put in your own design and do, yes, it was, then I got more tech savvy and delve into that, and Angel Fire, you could just sign up so you could...
Oh my god, they were so ugly.
Yes, so bad. They hurt your eyes, because it was like black backgrounds with yellow letters, and, yeah, and people just were doing whatever, right? Oh, but it was to find a internet host site to host your page.
Go Daddy.
it was crazy. And along came DeviantArt, which was like this place where you create a page, you have your own profile, you upload your own artwork, you post it up there. With each post, you have a description you could write, and people could leave comments. And again, through there, I met Ray. I found Ray up on there, and that kind of developed our friendship in art and everything else. So, and nowadays, I kind of use, first it was Tumblr. There was a lot of like cool art up there that people were posting. Twitter, another place you can find art, Pinterest, and yeah, that's
DeviantArt in terms of like internet presence.
And Instagram now is the place to post. Yeah,
it started out with, I don't know, I started very slowly into the digital things. I was finding message boards. I saw what people were doing. I saw where people were posting art on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across this one Psylocke board, and at the time I was just having a Psylocke moment, and
yeah,
I saw this group of people posting Psylocke art, and I was like, I can contribute to this, that would be fun. And I started uploading work onto there and meeting cool people, so it was just so much easier to meet people online than in
sense.
And that led me to DeviantArt, and on there, like, being part of groups and communities. Yeah. It was strong. Like, DeviantArt communities were strong at that point. There was a lot of it's not so much the case anymore. It's totally lost. DeviantArt got lost with Tumblr and Instagram and Twitter and all those things that came after, because people were just using it as a platform to take art from and repost in these other places.
Things, yeah.
Without crediting the artist, right. Without going back to who.
But also, Ray, the technology progressed past the desktop laptop model. Like, people are now accessing these apps on their phone. Like, who logs into a desktop computer? Back then, you had to sit on a computer to upload all this stuff, to scan it. Nobody has scanners anymore.
I do.
Nobody. I know. I'm saying. Things have changed in recent years. You know, things are becoming more just a quick post, just putting out on Instagram, doing hashtags, content. Yeah. So it's things have just changed and morphed into something else. And the last question, what are some of your art interests currently and lately, if any TV shows or movies that have had an impact on you artistically?
Oh my gosh.
You're like, where to begin?
In terms of movies, there's visually.
Yes.
Tarsim Singh.
Yeah.
Is if you're going to be influenced visually by any cinematography, I mean, this is the man.
Tell the people who he is, because
Tarsim Singh is a guy who worked on The Cell with Jennifer Lopez and Vincent D'Onofrio. And that movie, it's about a serial killer who goes into a coma, and because movies, they have to go into his head to pull the information out about his most recent victim, because he's in a coma but she's still in a cage and they have to save her. And like, Jennifer Lopez is a therapist who's working on this experimental program
where
she can go into the mind of the patient. And it was meant for her to work with a child who was like stuck in a comatose state. And they're like, well, we need to save this woman. We need to get to his mind. So when she goes into the mind of this serial killer, it sounds like a nightmare. Some of it even looks like a nightmare, but it's still beautiful. Like, it was still shot. I mean, the costume designs, the camera angles.
Visually, it was...
There's so much talent. Like, so
surrealistic.
So much talent, influence. So much time, so much care, so much design. Like, yeah, Tarsim, he's up there. But then there's also the Wachowski siblings and like the Matrix, anything that makes you think outside the box and pushes boundaries. And that was the Matrix was sci-fi. That was something that was very almost comic inspired, the way that the villains, the heroes, the stories, the complexity, the technological aspects of it all. There was Fight Club was again visually insane. But the story, like the fact that this was someone with a mental disorder or with mental illness that takes like Calvin and Hobbes to a whole nother level. Circle him back.
Right.
There's just movies that are just so well written and so thought and so well designed that you just can't pull away. You cannot look. And those things definitely draw me in and inspire. Yes, absolutely. Like the fashion design, the costume design,
all of it.
There's so much amazing work out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go more like with the cartoons and anime that have influenced me lately. I've been watching a lot of anime. I started on this long journey. I'm trying to get Ray into it, but he's fighting me back to watch Naruto from the beginning.
So just so happy.
And there's also a ton of filler episodes, but it's crazy to see this old series that I'm watching now for the first time, how much it's influenced other anime that's coming out. Like, I'm a big fan of Jujutsu Kaisen. There's Demon Slayer right now, Attack on Titan, which I will tell you, I'm so proud that I got Ray to watch it. But we watched probably like season 1 and 2 maybe together, but Ray renamed every character. Like,
there was too many to keep track of,
so he gave him his own interpretation. Like, Annie was Lady Gaga, but when she turned into her Titan form, she was Taylor Swift.
It was easy for me to keep track of that.
Absolutely, right? And I knew exactly who you were talking about. I wish, you know, it's the final season, part 2 is back.
All the Ben Afflecks. There was so many Ben Afflecks.
Yeah. And then video games too. I played a lot of Final Fantasy when I was younger. Those stories and those character developments. I'm a big nerd that I even get like all the soundtrack CDs and the art books, you know, the development of these games, all it's on and yeah, on like, back, like so much
the art and like, yeah. Star Seam Sing, The Fall. Yes. I dragged you into The Fall. Like that's my absolute favorite movie ever.
It's great. Ridley Pace.
I had to instill it.
Like, no, yeah. I thank you for it. And if you guys don't know, Tarsim actually did direct the video for Lady Gaga's 911 music video. And you can see right there, his style is front and center. That the visuals are just...
So man, definitive. So
absolutely.
Signature.
Yeah. And I can't go on without mentioning Avatar, The Last Airbender, Korra. That's
when cartoons started making you...
Yes. Like, yeah. Giving you that
things got deeper. I swear cartoons used to be like, oh, they're kids. You know, whatever. Yeah, Superman ran around the world. It's fine. Yeah. Whatever. It didn't matter. Like now all this character development and depth was like, that was the first series where I was just like hit hard by it. Because it pulled me in. I watched it accidentally because my nephew, who must have been about 4 or 5 at the time, mm-hmm. was watching Nickelodeon. And there's this avatar. There's this little kid with a tattoo on his head. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And like the more you watch, the more you get pulled into the mythos. And then
absolutely.
Oh, it's so good.
So the, much character depth.
It's growth. Based on a martial art. All the moves, all the bending. And I can't. All
different elements. Yeah. It all made sense. This world was like, so well thought of,
and these, I think. This world filled with characters who were all other. Who weren't just what you're used to seeing as the heroes and the characters that are.
That's the biggest debate is... Avatar, The Last Airbender, is it anime? Is it, but it's like American animation, but they were outsourced to Korea, so it's in a weird middle ground. But again, it that was such a big impact on me. And recently, it was like, you know, Adventure Time, going through that emotional drive that you thought Adventure Time was just totally random and like, what? This doesn't make sense.
Steven Universe.
Yeah, Steven Universe, another one.
So much more deep.
Voltron. I didn't see the original Voltron, but this Netflix Voltron.
The original Voltron did not have this.
That was, I mean, all topics we might discuss, y'all. And recently, as you know, I'm big into Art Nouveau and another... Before they did Enchanted, that live action Disney movie princess thing, but they did the art style they used for the animation part was Art Nouveau, and I was dying to see that being drawn because Disney usually picks a certain style. Like I think with Tangled, they did a Baroque type of inspiration.
They have a different
style. Yeah. Aladdin was like Al Hirschfeld, like his curves and stuff, and. Arcane League of Legends on Netflix was an amazing show. Just even artistically, it was so groundbreaking to me. It was very Art Nouveau influenced, but they were like paintings.
They were moving paintings.
Yeah. So those are things that I'm watching right now that have left me.
You get enough of us yet? Like
I know.
Come this back was, for more. Like,
yeah, I know. But thank you, Ray, for...
thank you.
No, yeah, this is...
For showing up.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll do another one of these. Now we're going to talk about comics.
It's comics, and it's a weird week because it's like two characters we weird? Don't really care about.
Is it weird?
It's a little weird because they're similar in different ways. Like, it's Sabretooth and Wolverine.
Yeah.
And they each get a title this week. And they're similar in the way that they just leap from one reality to the next, sort of, kind of. So we'll start with Wolverine, which is Benjamin Percy, Josh Fuxara, and Frank Martin. And Frank Martin kills it with the colors. Did you check it? Did you see? What'd you think?
Yeah. I thought it was, reminded me of that, was it Andy or Adam Kubert that did like the Wolverine, the origin of Wolverine?
Yeah, it was, I don't know. One of the Kuberts of the origin of Wolverine. I've never followed Wolverine heavily.
It was probably Adam, because I think he does a lot of Wolverine stuff. He's been doing some of the covers, which I'm happy to see again.
But yeah, so the art is good. I don't mind looking at it. It's really...
From Joshua?
Yeah.
Joshua Cacera?
Yeah. It's The shots are good. The angles are fun. Like, it's I'm good. I'm good with it so far.
Yeah.
So you want
It's
let's
okay.
get into the comic now.
Yeah, this is the 10 Lives of Wolverine number 2.
Now it's
And
tricky because this like bounces back and forth through time. So how about we like stick to timelines? Like let's start with like timeline A and everything that happens in 1900 Northern Canada.
okay.
So
So
that's when,
that's where it starts off. We have a
yeah,
teenage Wolverine. He's like
Twink
Twink
Vereen versus a
Vereen.
bear.
Yeah. Well, so the setup is Coliseum style, like fucking
Entertainment.
polar
There's a polar
bears.
bear chained to a pole in the middle of the arena,
Yeah.
and Twink Vereen has to fight him with his bone claws because he's just a skinny baby.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle of all that, and that's when the consciousness of present day
Old.
Logan just pops into, you can't say old man because that's the other dude. So
Oh man,
present
there's
day
too many
Logan,
Wolverines.
exactly. The present day Logan pops into the body, his consciousness pops into this Twink Vereen body, and instead of fighting the bear, which is what probably Twink Vereen originally did, this Logan just, like, now that he's in charge of this body, he kicks the bear's ass because now he's super experienced, and he tries to jump out of this Coliseum, like you said, but they're like trying to shove him back in, so he's just tossing people back into this so that they have to fight the bear. And then he
Yeah.
takes off, and then boom, there she is. Jean P.S. He's like, "This is where you gotta go. This is how you gotta get there." And
Can I, before we continue with this, can I say a comment or a note?
what?
We both hate time travel. Like,
Absolutely.
we are not, I just, so, how is this gonna affect the timeline? Like,
I don't know.
he's
We'll see, because that's one
running
thing.
away, yeah. He's
Jean
running
P.S.
away
keeps
from where
telling
he
him,
was.
she
Yeah,
keeps
you gotta
telling
go
him
here.
that she keeps telling him there are consequences. It's one of the things she says right here is like he's running away,
With
and
these
she tells
huskies on a dog
he see
sled.
he sled jacks this thing with wolves on it, with the huskies on it,
Yeah.
and rides away, and she tells him there's consequences of his actions. Like what he does here does affect time in a
Right.
way. We don't know how yet. I guess we'll know by the end of it, but
Gosh.
yeah.
Can't wait.
So in that same time period, when we get back to that
1900
in
Northern Canada.
when we get back to that book, we're on a boat now with Captain Xavier, which is an a
Great
ancestor
granddaddy of Professor X.
a ancestor of Charles, some way connected. So Omega Red has taken possession of one of his ship
Crew members.
crew. Yeah, exactly, thank you, crew members. And you know that they're fighting, they're gonna kill Captain Xavier, and
Yeah.
they get as far as fighting him, and then he actually does toss he tosses Omega Red overboard, but then he possesses somebody else's body, and he starts going in for Captain Xavier, and Twink Vereen is here to save the day,
Yeah,
and that's kind
it's
of that's where
where it's left
that and
off.
that's it. Yeah,
Yeah, we
I
see
that's it.
the dog train come into the rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then let's go to, I'm calling it
Japan.
C. I'm gonna call it C because it kind of like ends with B. And Japan
Okay.
would be B, but like that's the ending, kind of sort of.
Okay. All right. Well,
So we're
we'll
gonna jump
switch to
to,
Colombia. Colombia, there's
yeah.
a that threesome mission between Wolverine, Sabretooth, and Maverick.
Yep, the Weapon
Out in
X,
the
Team X.
field.
They're out, they're
Yes.
dealing with some cartel. They're out there to take them down because they're working for the government. And again, the consciousness of current day Logan pops into this CIA Weapon X Wolverine, and he's already taken aback. He's like, he's out of sorts. He's like, where is he? He's got to figure out what's going on first. And then, of course, there's Jean P.S. She's like, you got to go this way. You gotta keep moving.
Right.
And he leaves the team, and he's like, see you guys, and he bounces and he goes to
Did
wherever Jean
you
P.S.
read what Gene told him about like Xavier being at this type of
Yes.
conference or something?
Yes. He's at a conference. There's gonna be a lot of important people there. There's gonna be politicians, there's things going on. And so they got to get there right away. So, but the thing is that then he does remember where he is. Like,
At
current day
that
Logan
point in
remembers
time,
that, yeah, that
what
at that
happens
time,
next?
what he
Yes.
did was like they did take on this cartel, but not only did they take on the cartel, but they also killed all the innocent people around them. Like, this whole village, this town, whatever. Wherever they were at, they just piled bodies on top of bodies and burned them alive or dead. And it was just, it was, he says it's the part of his past that he hates the most is this time.
Yeah.
So he decides he's gonna go and fix that. And Gene PS is like, no, you can't go. It's gonna affect, these things have consequences. It's gonna affect the timeline, and you can't do this and save Xavier at the same time. He's like, I
Right.
gotta do this, I gotta do this. So he stabs Sabretooth and blows him up with a grenade. And I guess just leaves him there. But then for Maverick, he's like, you'll be all right. But at the same time, now the cartel saw that explosion. And they're like, something's going up on there. And now they're going to go investigate what's going on. And Sabretooth comes out from under the rubble from getting blown up. And he's like, calls the HQ. He's like, I'm going to kill this fucker. And that's that.
Yeah.
Then,
The Japan scene.
no, not yet.
What a oh the now you want
Because
to go to the present, the
then
recent past?
there's like recent past where it's
Yes.
not quite today, but it's like a week, maybe a month ago, let's say. Oh, a month from like where we're February now. If this is February, then it happened in January, whatever this is. So
So they
it's,
switch to Moscow.
yeah, they go to Moscow. They have
We
to.
have Omega Red, Wolverine, and Domino,
They're on a
I
mission to
guess.
get this guy named Maxim. They have to go
But
get
at the same
Maxim.
time, I think that Omega Red is on a trial run, is what's
He
going
is
on.
on.
I didn't read X-Force, so I'm not too sure
He
about.
is on some. Me either. But he's on some trial situation with X-Force where they're trying him out as a member, and to see it. This is a mission to see how he does,
And this
and
was
they have
after
to.
he was resurrected?
He was, yes.
Yeah,
They
okay.
resurrected him, but they resurrected him with accessories. They put things in
Okay.
his body. They put
That
tracking
per beast, right?
per beast. They put
Right.
like shit in his body, which is what came up. That goes back to the first episode issue. It goes back to the first
The
issue
first
where he's
episode,
like,
yes.
yeah, where he's like attacks Egg in the hatchery, and then he goes and looks up his file and see what they did to him. But this is
Yeah.
how he finds out. So they're in there to find this guy Maximus because they want to interrogate him. And Omega Red goes off on his own. He's like yelling into an empty room. He's like, Maxim, where are you? Whatever. And Mikhail Rasputin comes out of nowhere.
From the
And
shadows, from the steam of these hot baths, Mikhail appears,
so,
shoves his fist inside of
oh
Omega
goodness.
Red.
And he pixelates. Like that, imagine
Yeah.
that. He's like, look what they
Now
put
tell
inside
the
of you.
audience, or tell me, what is Mikhail's power?
He's the
Okay.
reality warper guy, because it's similar to like
Akin to
Jake,
kind of like
Jamie Maddox,
Jamie
Jamie
Braddock.
Brannan. Yes, very similar to Jamie Braddock. He can control reality and shoot blasts, and okay, he's got range, but apparently he's like,
You know what that cube thing? Oh, you know who else does that cube signature thing with reality? Miss
Scarlet Witch.
Maximoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I guess
well,
that's how
he,
they portray that.
it's a reality thing. So now he's like
Yeah.
showing him, like, look, this is what they put inside of you. They killed
Yeah.
you and they put this in you and you didn't know.
Right.
And
You're their puppet, kind of, right? Telling him, like, do you
kind
want to be
of like,
free?
so he, and then he just like disappears back to the vapors. And oh, now I guess Omega Red, this goes back to the first issue where he's like, gotta find out if it's true. And he learns that it is true, and then that we still don't know how he's time possessing people and jumping through
Going
time,
back.
but
And all on the mission to just kill Xavier or his ancestors, his line.
the thing is there's a whole info page by Sage. Sage has like info pages throughout this thing. And on
I
one of
skipped
them,
those.
no, you can't skip them. I'm
So read them to me now. Tell me what happened.
not gonna read them to you, but there's one
Yeah, give
like
me the cliff notes.
generally.
I don't need you to do it verbatim, but you can, give me some cliff notes. So Sage is taking all this into account.
Yeah. The title is Omega Red Suspected defection. So he's leaving. They have it on record that he went and attempted, he looked through his files and what's his motivation, and they come across the Cerebro Sword. Like that comes up, but it's online, it's damaged and it's missing, but it's online. And they know that Mikhail has it, and he probably did it. And this has something to do with what Omega Red is doing. So they made that connection. They figured that out already. And then there's more, because then there's.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. They come up, Sage figures out that someone can possibly be messing with the timeline. So they come up with a chrono-mechanical program so they can track activity, and they know it's Omega Red. Like they in this on the on those info pages, that's kind of telling you what how they go from A to B in a way, because they figured out that there is somebody in the timeline doing things, and that's why they send Wolverine out the way that they do.
And it's affecting the present, I'm
Yeah,
assuming, right?
because of this chrono mechanical program that
That's
Xavier created.
right.
They figured that out because so right now Xavier's wearing the Cerebro 5, the C5, and Cerebro 3 is the sword, what used to be a Cerebro helmet that Magneto repurposed as a sword when Xavier got shot through the head while he was wearing it. And Mikhail has it, and it's connected. They're syncing, like whatever.
Update
Somehow,
in one, the other one syncs up to it.
yeah, which is maybe not a great idea, but whatever. It's giving them enough information so they know what's going on, which is why they're on this mission, which is why they sent Wolverine out like this. And
So why
yeah.
Wolverine and Omega Red are traveling through time, and one's
Well,
trying to
why?
destroy, the other's trying to fix it, prevent it.
Yeah. That's and this is. I guess they have all the cliff notes, and that's why like GPS knows what to do, when to go, and where to, like all the stuff. So that's all in the data pages. You got to get through the data pages. Damn
I just,
it.
I get it from you. That's all. Because I read that thing about the sword, and I glazed over it. I was like, what? I don't get it. But again, that's probably that was an X-Force. Yeah. See? Now can
So
we talk
now
about
we,
Japan?
yeah, because that's it. There's no more timelines. That's like there's like three different timelines so far in one book.
It's a lot. It's a lot. They jam-packed all this stuff. So now we switch to like Japan
I'll
sometime.
yes. I want to hear how you go and tell this story.
Oh, so
Yeah.
Wolverine is like literally inside of Itsu, Dawkins' mother, and
What
of
do you
course
mean?
Jean Block.
What do you mean
Jean.
he's what?
So they're making love, and
Oh.
Mr. Wolverine from the present appears in the moment of utter complete ecstasy, and then Jean in true fashion tries to cock block him, and he's like, give me up, I'm not done yet. Or something. I this part is blurry. So
Oh,
yeah,
what?
that
I
was.
figured this would be the sharpest part to you.
And then after the deed is done, he's like, I just want to stay here forever with you, Itsu. And Omega Red, of course, takes over her body, and you see all the tentacles appearing and enveloping him. And then you can take over now.
Stop, there's only one more page.
So then there's a naked fight going on. Got Tentacle Itsu with naked Wolverine. They he's like, I guess he's thinking it through, and he's like, crap, I can't kill her. She has Dokken in her belly. I can't kill her. So
Like, but he,
that's
like, that's, I don't know. He says, like, I can't not kill her either. Like, he's got to figure out what to do. So,
yeah.
that's where it wraps up.
I kind of, I guess, because there was so many timelines that they are going through, and they couldn't really focus on one thing. I was like, wait, that's where it's going to end? That's quite a cliffhanger.
But, I mean, look at everything we just discussed.
No.
A lot happened. Which leads us to Sabretooth, because that's another
I
book
mean,
where
oh, this one did,
a
okay.
lot happened.
If we're yes, but if we're talking about Which was your favorite book of the week? I'll say Sabretooth was
Oh,
mine.
yeah, Sabretooth,
For
absolutely.
sure.
Sabretooth was my favorite one, mostly because it delves into Krakoa some more. Like, it's, I wanted it, as soon as Sabretooth went in the hole, I was like, I want to know what it was, the hole, the pit, whatever they want to call it. Like, this is the first time they're addressing it. So I was like really excited to finally get to this book. So it's not so much about Sabretooth, because if it was just, if it was a Sabretooth book, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have cared.
But it was all about Sabretooth, and I'm highly impressed by his imagination.
It turned out to be, yes, all about Sabretooth. The thing is, it also is trying, it's giving you information about the pit, the hole, wherever he is, whatever his situation is. That's what I'm curious about.
Where are the mutants that break one of the mutant laws get sent? What happens there? This is what this book is starting to reveal, and it's quite exciting. But also, Sabretooth being the first one to be sent to the pit. He we go through his journey through this pit. In this creative team, we have Victor Lavalle as the writer, Leonard Kirk as the artist, and Rain Barreto as the colorist.
Leonard Kirk does such a good job with all the expressions, all the angles, all the, like, you can, every time Sabretooth's face changes, like, you can tell what he's saying without
Feral, or when
reading.
he's right. Yes.
Like, when he's giving attitude, when he's like, I don't know, it's just, I'm really, he's really good with this book. I'm really impressed by Leonard.
Have you seen his art somewhere else? I
No, not
haven't.
really.
Okay.
But that's because it's just the books he's worked. I'm sure he's done a lot of other work. I just haven't
Right.
followed him particularly. But now that I'm aware of Leonard, I'd be like, yeah, he's pretty. I like it. I like,
Yeah.
yes, it's a little, it there's a lot of motion to him, and he conveys emotion really well. So I'm down.
Yeah. I mean, the first shot, we see a sad Sabretooth with the council surrounding him, condemning him to the pit. You already feel for him.
Yeah, and then he's like, he even addresses Mystique. He's like, Lenny won't even look me in the face. And I'm just, he's like, Lenny. And I'm like, oh my God, he's calling her Lenny. Lenny was the name she used when she was playing a role when he met her. He was supposed to save a German spy, and it turned out to be Mystique. And they got very close, and she had Graydon Creed, and
Yeah, it was
that's the
their
name.
love child.
Yeah, that's the name she was using when at that time in her life, or during that mission. So that's what he called her, and I was like, wow, that was a callback. That was, damn, Victor Lavalle, Lavalle.
Yeah.
I hate not getting
So
his
much
name right.
Lavelle.
Lavalle, but it. He really, that was a deep dive, because that was like some, I don't know, 1996. It's been a while since that
So
story
much
was.
so that you just told me and I didn't know about it. So that was a good little nugget Easter egg.
You're welcome. But yeah, then he gets dragged into the pit, and he swears he's gonna kill everybody and all the children. He's
Everybody
gonna,
that wronged him in his life,
everybody and all the
he's gonna come
children and
for
the
them.
families, and every, he's gonna kill everybody. And then you get to, like, it's the information pages
Oh,
and he's like,
I take it back. I did read this information page because it was
it was
funny.
really good. It was really good. So
One of the best I have ever read. It kept my
glad. Not
attention.
so
It
since
kept my
you enjoyed it
attention
so
to the
much,
end.
you can have it. It's all yours. Go ahead. What is on this information page?
It's talk about the pit. What is the pit? It goes down like, what is this place? Where is this place? It goes down to like describe, is the pit Krakoa's belly? Is the pit Krakoa's butt? Yes, you heard right.
Mean, you gotta, where is it? I mean, he's still on the island, but where on this island is
Technically,
he?
because you guys, if you think about the concept of Krakoa, the island, Krakoa is a mutant in itself. So if you think that this place people are living on is a mutant itself, you have to think about, wait, how does it eat? How does it, where are its organs, its brain? How does it think? Like, the nervous system, does it get a virus? It's all
Well,
these questions, right?
he already has a virus. He's got that warlock in him. But
Yeah. Then
it was
it's
really
like,
interesting.
is the pit, is it the Is it Krakoa's heart? Is it Krakoa's brain? Like, yeah.
Very good questions, I think. I can't wait
Yeah,
to see where
no,
else
they.
this goes.
Yeah. So I you kind of forget that this land they're living on is a actual living mutant. I forget at least. So
No, I mean, Doug always reminds, he's always, because he's like the
the
voice of
voice of
Krakoa. Whenever
Krakoa.
I see
Yeah.
Doug, it's like he's carrying out Krakoa's will. Like he's the envoy. He's the one that's telling everybody what Krakoa wants and needs and explains things to him too. He kind of like he does both. He's a translator.
From the past series into this new one, we'll see. Okay, anyway,
Anyway.
going back. Yes, Sabretooth obliterates the X-Men. And like you were saying, right? It's like, this is who I am. I'm a monster. I'm a savage. I'll kill anything in my way.
And then he wakes up and he's in like a police station. He's got
Yeah.
the one-way mirror where Cole's on one end, and then Doug Ramsey comes into his space,
I
and he's
love
an
that.
attorney. I love the briefcase. I
That,
love
yes,
the
I love
Warlock
that
briefcase
Warlock.
because Warlock is terrified the whole time, like
Yeah.
his eyes and his teeth. He's just
I mean, wouldn't
he's.
you too?
I mean, but he's a machine. But still,
I
like
mean,
it's adorable how Doug is so composed and professional and unaffected by anything Sabretooth says, but his briefcase says it all. The Warlock got all the faces, all the
yes.
expressions.
Yeah.
It was so good. Like Leonard,
Yeah.
Leonard winning me over here. But so Doug's mission and his purpose right now is communicating with Sabretooth, and he's acting on behalf of Krakoa. Because Krakoa is this, yes, is he Krakoa is a mutant, but part of its mutant ability is this telepathic energy. He's like he lives off of mental energy, and I guess he's in a way a telepath himself. But again, he needs Doug to convey the message, to speak in the language that other people can understand. So he sends him in there to tell him that Krakoa doesn't think he was treated fairly, and he wants things to change for him, because what's supposed to happen is he goes into this pit, and he's supposed to be in there with like aware but unable to do anything, just like in stasis, but not able to act or move or speak or but aware of the fact that he's just in a hole. But Krakoa has been letting him live out these like crazy
Kind of like in
fantasies.
Orange is the New Black, where they would stick them in the hole, they would say. The solitary confinement.
Yeah, I mean he's the only one there, so it's definitely solitary confinement. But the thing is, like, in those places, I guess people's minds are free, even though they're in a cage. But not in Sabretooth's case. He was supposed to be in a hole, like alive but immobile, aware but unable to act. Like he's just there.
I see.
And Krakoa has been letting him have these dreams, or this letting his imagination just run wild. And this isn't the first time that Doug's had this conversation with him, but he doesn't remember it because
Because he always ends up killing him.
Krakoa has been like kind to him and compassionate. Like I don't know why, because he just doesn't think it's fair. Maybe Krakoa saw that he didn't know what the rules were first, and then he got like, is that it? Like they made that rule about you can't kill people, that you can't kill humans after he killed the humans. And like, had he known before, would he have not killed any more humans? He probably would have still killed them. But still, like, he found out, like, they changed the rules after the fact on him. And Krakoa maybe just, who knows? For whatever reason, Krakoa was sympathetic to him and, like, wants to at least let his mind live in spite of Xavier's dreams. Like, they're all working against Xavier now. The five are like, they're taking charge of the process.
Resurrection
Of the risk,
protocols, whatever. Who's
and now Krakoa is like deciding how it is that Krakoa is now deciding how it is that Sabretooth is going to live out his days in the
his
pit.
sentence in the pit.
And so he makes the deal, he has to sign the paperwork. You have to, Krakoa will let you live out in your brain. You can't leave, but your mind will be free.
Right.
And once he accepts that, he's like, All right. What else? What can I do? What can I be? He signs the deal, and now we get an info page, which is really interesting info page. Like, who is prison for is basically what they're asking. It's like, what was it? In Sabretooth's case in particular, he absolutely deserves to be locked away from people, kept away from people, or because he is a psychopath with no emotional connect, no sympathy, no
Remorse,
he
nothing, none of
remorse,
that.
nothing. He
No
just
guilt.
he absolutely enjoys destroying and
Killing.
killing and
Yeah.
ravaging, and that's another thing. But historically, like, what are prisons for? And it's like, you had the gladiators who were technically slaves, who were criminals, who were put in this position, who had to fight their way to freedom. But how long would that take? And then you had the slaves who had to help the gladiators, the ones who kept the cages. Like, it's the system of oppression and slaving cultures that just like has been rampant throughout history. And it was interesting to think that it gets brought up here again, not because Sabretooth deserves any of it, because he's absolutely a horrible, disgusting person. That's they don't hide that at all in this. But it was an interesting info page to put in here, because it's just to speak on society and what we understand pr prisons to be. It's almost in a way slavery today, because they have to work for absolutely nothing to pay. And what are they in there for? There's so many people, now, like legalization of marijuana, things like that. There's people who went to prison because they had a joint.
Yeah.
It's what's it for? It's like to oppress who, to keep who away, to lock people. I don't know. It's a broad page, and it just brought up a lot of thoughts, and it was interesting to have that in this book. So enough of that, and we can go back to Sabretooth. So then his mind is free, and he's like, they have him killing Xavier, killing Iron Fist, killing all the feral mutants, like Wolfsbane and all those guys. Anybody who's like beastly. And it's funny that they, not funny, but Iron Fist is in there, and that was like where Sabretooth made his first appearance in Iron Fist books. It wasn't not even like a Wolverine villain. But I mean, that's where
What? How did you know
that
that?
I just stuff from the past. Like, I know that that's where his first appearance was.
Cool. I had no idea. I thought he premiered in Wolverine 2, because they've
No.
been nemesis forever.
Nemesis? Nemesis? So after he's done with that, and he's like, okay, I've drank all the blood, and I've done all the killing, I've done all, like, what's next for him? And then this one thing his mind does, it introduces you to the different aspects of him. And you have the feral board, which is the boy, which is a very young, let's say maybe like a 10-year-old version of himself. And the beast, which is who we see in his 90s outfit with the fur on his neck and the orange and brown stripes. And but then there's this man who's in like a suit and tie, very composed, and a cat, just to look at, like a cat, like just a regular home cat just chilling. And this is the council, the Feral Council, they call it.
The Feral Council, yeah.
And they are discussing like what next to do, because they've
For
done everything
all
they
eternity. Yeah, they've done that. But did you catch that Shane moment when they're sitting down discussing?
tell me the shade moment.
The man in the suit is like, hey, you know who really made a racket when he died? And all three of them are like, bitch! That's fucked up.
All three of them yelled Banshee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was it's a great book.
I like it.
So then then he's like, well, what else can we do? So he goes from there, and he becomes like a Conan
Conan the
character.
Barbarian.
Now he's like Creed the King, and he develops the Mark of Creed, and it's like a claw mark, that he emblem that he wears. And from that to like leader of the Starjammers. But he's not just one of the Starjammers, he's all of them. They all look like Sabretooth, like Binary and even Lilandra. They all look like Sabretooth.
What's the
And
green
then
guy's name? Chode. I was trying not to say it.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
But then, interestingly enough, and like physical manifestation of Priest start showing up on Krakoa. Did you see that tree?
Oh, so like it first appeared to Black Tom. There's like a saber tooth,
like a statue, like it's some kind of.
It's forming within the trees, like a shape of saber tooth.
Yeah.
And not only that, then it starts appearing to other people as a ghost, like an image, all these different iterations of Sabretooth, you know, as Corsair, Sabretooth as regular Sabretooth, or the Conan Sabretooth. But people are like, oh, did I make that up? Is it a dream? Am I dreaming? Is it a nightmare?
I don't know. It's weird. So he's like his mind is going all out, and Krakoa can't keep it in. Like, because at one point Krakoa is just like giving him side eye. He's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then you get the splash page of where he finally decides to settle. Like, he's found himself. He's found his calling. He knows where he wants to be, and he's gonna be the king of Krakoan Hell. And he's sitting on
a Game of Thrones style thing.
It's a throne made of bones.
It's become hell.
He's got hoofs instead of feet. He's got horns. Like, they're going for this whole underworld vibe with him. Like, he's the king of hell in Krakoa. And he's sitting there just, I guess, playing things out over and over again. He's like, it's just him down there in his imagination.
Yeah.
He's just there. But then all of a sudden, out of the light starts peeking through the sky or whatever's above him. And
the blackness, it just
light comes through, and boom, it pops out five mutants.
Yeah,
five random mutants, and just like, what? Like, when you see who these guys are, it's like, what, who, and why? You know, you have Oya. Oya's a little girl. She's one of the good guys.
Five Lights, I guess, were the mutants that first emerged after the Messiah Complex, who gained their mutant powers back.
She's,
what did she do?
Why did she get there? I don't,
Madison why did Jeffries, she get sent to the pit?
Madison Jeffries Box, who's been in Alpha Flight and X Factor, and he's like a guy who can talk to machines, who had an affair with Danger Room. Like, what did he do? I don't know. There's villains, though. There's Necra. Necra is a villain from like the 70s. Who's a black woman born with white skin and fangs. And it's and
Melter.
Just weird. Melter.
Third Eye. It's
people. I mean, I can't wait to find out. Like, I'm really surprised at how much I'm enjoying this Sabretooth book. Because it's insane. So he sees these guys and he's like, well, I'm going to practice on you. And then I'm going to torture.
And then after I'm bored with Krakoa. And then after that, we'll see. That is Krakoa's hell.
And it's perfect place for him.
If Topside, as they call it, is paradise, you know, then now, well, Sabretooth
Wanda,
is.
Wanda created heaven. Wanda created Krakoa in heaven.
Oh, look at that. You're right.
In the trial of Magneto. Like, the last thing that happened, she did was she created heaven for them, the waiting room, whatever they want to call it.
And now we have the creation of hell. And now Sabretooth sits as its king, the king of hell.
Really interesting.
Very interesting stuff. Yeah, looking forward to it. Do you know how many issues this will be?
No, but I'm enjoying it. I can't wait. Five, maybe? I don't know. I'm glad it's a limited series, though. I'm glad it's a limited series. But so far, so good. It's a great beginning for the series.
Yeah. But that's it, guys.
All right.
So next week.
Time.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.